This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the show. For those of you who have been here before, thanks for coming back again and again. And for those of you who are new, well, welcome. Lots to talk about. Big week, short week for many because it is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of you had that 3 or 4, maybe more days off. You could tell because travel certainly was up, up, up. It was one of the biggest travel weekends that we've seen. It's kind of like the official full reopening in a sense because of the surge of those that were willing to fly. And you had to be masked. And, of course, there was no alcohol served on lots of different flights unless you were in first class for American because we've had so many incidents that there were announcements about timelines of when that was going to be lifted, et cetera. But the good news is, not to go down that negative path, is there were people that were out there seeing people and doing the tourist thing and having a lot of fun and visiting with friends and family and, you know, all of that. And that's the good part of Memorial Day weekend, remembering those that have fallen and the reason we have our freedoms and the reason that we can get together and enjoy each other and that connection, that lost connection that so many were feeling, that isolation, you're seeing that some of it is lifting, which is why we had crowded airports and crowded highways and people, you know, willing to do whatever they had to do to scramble and travel and just grin and bear it and pack their patience. Because you know that when it's a holiday weekend like that and you have extra days to contend with that give you that extra time, of course you're going to hit traffic. Of course you're going to have some delays in checking in or going through a TSA line or whatever it might be. But people were more than willing to do that. So that's the good news. Politically speaking, it was a wild one in Texas. Texas Democrats ultimately won this part of the war when it comes to voting rights, but the Democrats staged a walkout to block the state's voting bill. Governor Greg Abbott plans to call a special session because that voting bill failed to pass when they walked out of the House chamber before a midnight deadline. In the Senate, there was a lot of arguments Saturday into Sunday. But ultimately, in the morning, it passed. So then the conversation continued in the House, and Senate Bill 7 in Texas, as it's known as the Election Integrity Protection Act, which is one of several Republican efforts in state houses around the country to tighten voting restrictions, particularly in counties that tend to vote Democratic, they say, is now on ice temporarily. We'll see what happens in this special session that Governor Abbott is calling, but it definitely kicked up a lot of dust and a lot of conversation, not just in Texas, but in other parts of the United States for people who were plugged in and were paying attention. Again, the Texas Senate voted along party lines, approved the sweeping elections bill shortly before 6 a.m. on Sunday. There was a wild overnight debate, 7.5 hours. Does anyone lose their voice when they do this? And the Democrats were furious about the bill's restrictions, they say, particularly a ban on 24-hour voting, drive-through voting that was popular last year in Houston and in Harris County. So there may be a special session there. There are other states that are also working on tougher, you know, restrictions when it comes to voting. And I think this is one of the biggest tug-of-wars going on in the country because we'll have midterm elections, of course, that are coming up as well. And we know what that means. And there's a great push in all directions, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, for territory and seats. That's what it's about. No doubt about that. The other big event that was marked over the weekend is, and it's been written about, there were television shows and things and whatnot to mark it, but in Tulsa there were remembrances of a massacre by survivors and descendants, because it was the 100th anniversary of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre. So you had, on Monday, people that gathered on a place called Standpipe Hill, where black World War I veterans fought in the battle to hold off a descending mob on this all-black neighborhood of Greenwood. And as many as 300 black people were killed in that race massacre, which began on May 31st, 1921, and went into the following day. It destroyed, if you've ever been through Tulsa, there's all kinds of markers and whatnot there, but it destroyed 35 square blocks in a pretty prosperous community. And to hear the stories and to think, wow, 100 years, and to listen to the people who talked, who had descendants involved, it was something that I've, you know, never seen. And there was a Monday night candlelight vigil that's also was held, and then there are other dignitaries that are going to visit Tulsa on Tuesday and whatnot. So I think there were a lot of somber moments that were happening as a result of, you know, recognizing something that happened in our history and reliving for people who didn't know much about that time period, what happened and, you know, where we are now. The President of the United States did what all presidents do, go to Arlington National Cemetery on Memorial Day. I've talked about this in a previous show. To me, there's nothing like going to that cemetery. I think I was maybe five when my mother took me, and I was just awestruck in trying to take in what she was telling me and what it meant. And you see families gathered around various tombstones, and especially on Memorial Day, and, you know, Biden said, "We're free because they were brave." Here on these gentle rolling green hills and across America and around the globe lie buried the heroes of the greatest experiment the world has ever known, ever seen. He's talking about Arlington National Cemetery in the reference to all the people there. And he said, "Our losses are not the same, but that black hole you feel in your chest that you will fall in, we understand." And, you know, he talked about the lost angels and those that have fallen from war, etc. And he said, before his remarks, you had senior military leaders and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke. And this is what all presidents do. We know that. We're used to seeing that familiar scene, honoring those that have fallen, because that's Memorial Day, but also people that are serving, mentioning that too as well. And that's that kind of day, the gold stars, the surviving families, and you know, what life is like for them. And Memorial Day is celebrated the last Monday of May, and it commemorates the lives of military personnel who have died while in service. And it's a very, 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 of course, big deal, which is why it is a national holiday recognized as such since 1971. That's when it officially became a holiday. And I think some of the parades around the country were pretty cool.
Restrictions are coming to an end, but body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Yes, indeed. How about this? You probably didn't realize this, but key inflation metrics are hitting pretty high highs. One of them just hit a 29-year high. Do you want to hear about this? Yes, you do. So people are spending. They're spending. They're traveling. That's good. Yay. Hospitality coming back to life. Thank goodness. But that sent prices surging, right? So inflation is almost unstoppable in a sense, because our economy is chugging back to life, back to normal. A key measure of inflation is looking at food and energy prices. They've jumped to that 29-year high. That's the number. The Bureau of Economic Analysis Price Index tracks U.S. consumer spending. It rose 3.6% in the year ending April. Its biggest jump, ready for this, since September 2008, the height of the financial crisis. Excluding food and energy prices, the index gained 3.1%, the biggest increase since July of 1992. So economists are on eggshells. They're concerned that extreme price increases could keep consumers from spending, and investors worry that a prolonged inflation spike could force the end of easy money, the Federal Reserve's policies. Just print more money. Just print more money. What's backing it? Who knows? Brooke Shields just celebrated a birthday. How old do you think Brooke Shields is? Think about her. Nothing comes between her and her Calvins. She was like a teenager then. 56 years old. I have a good Brooke Shields story. I'm going to tell it to you. My brother went to Rutgers, which is in New Jersey, and he had friends who went to Princeton. And I think it might have been a Rutgers-Princeton football game. I'm not sure. But it was a football game that featured Princeton. So she went to Princeton. She was in the stands in front of him and a few of his friends. And nobody was paying attention to who it was, just that she was super, super tall. And she stood up and someone said, "Hey, you know, Sequoia Tree, you need to get down." She turned around and flashed those baby blue eyes and teeth, and they all shut up sheepishly. They just sunk back down into the bleachers because they realized it was Brooke Shields. Ba-dum-bum. Pretty funny. All right, also celebrating a birthday, Clint Eastwood, 91 years old. They just celebrated Brooke and Clint on Monday. So happy birthday to them. Millennials are feeling maybe burned out. Oh, don't you feel sorry for them? Millennials, the generation born between 1981 and 1996, are reporting higher rates of, well, physical exhaustion and mental exhaustion more than any other age group, though. Research is showing millennials tend to have higher rates of depression than other generations. So what's causing the burnout? They're tech-savvy, open-minded, political, independent, lazy, narcissistic. What? Come on. My best friends are millennials. Research shows millennials are burnt out. They long work hours and increasing debt, some of the reasons for the burnout. One report found the average baby boomer had to work 306 hours at minimum wage to pay for 4 years of college. The average millennial had to work 4,459. Let me repeat those numbers to you. So if you're a baby boomer, 4 years of college, just 306 hours at minimum wage would pay off that debt. Millennials, 4,459. I can see why you'd be depressed. That is depressing, isn't it? So I'm going to cut my millennial friends a huge break and say, I feel you. Here is a big hug to all of you. Wow, that's crazy. That may be one of the most insane numbers that I've ever heard of, but it's true. So because of how high, you know, how much tuition went up, etc., all of that, and then there's even more ugly numbers I could add to it, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want to depress everyone. We need to be happy. We need some happy news, right? All right, so what else is going on with numbers? Everything goes back to numbers. I'm very fond of saying that for a very good reason, because it is so, so true. All right, so let me tell you a couple of other things. Job searches have been spiking in states, ending a lot of the unemployment checks. So workers in states that are scrapping the extra $300 a week in federal unemployment benefits started searching for jobs on the day that the states announced the move, because they knew, okay, I got to do it now, right? What have we seen? Two dozen states are ending that unemployment benefit as soon as June, and well before September 6th when they officially run out nationwide. What are the states? You're listening to us in these states. Arizona, Oklahoma, and Montana are, by the way, though, offering bonuses for residents who return to work, because research is showing that sometimes, you know, people don't want to return back to work because of what was happening versus what they could get on a job. On the day states said they would end the checks, which critics say makes it hard for businesses to hire workers because they're struggling to recover from the pandemic, clicks for job postings spiked 5% compared to the last 2 weeks of April. Now that is from Indeed.com. Indeed.com came up with those numbers. Boy, you know, it's interesting because I'm seeing a lot of signs looking for people to work. I mean, even all over community areas, all kinds of jobs. I mean, all kinds of jobs. All right, this is what I would call sticker shock, and this might make your blood pressure go up a little bit. Might. When you go to the hospital for a procedure and you're just sick, I mean, you're sick, you need something. You go to urgent care, you go wherever, and you're uninsured. Or you're barely insured, which is most people are barely insured. They don't realize it. And what are you paying? And then what is it covering? What do you pay through the insurance, and what do you pay for a surgery or procedure if you have to pay cash, for example. I've talked about this before. I've talked about this with doctors. When you have doctors who like their patients and they're sick of the whole system, they just take cash. And they usually, in a sense, are charging you less. Well, the cost of a hip replacement at the Cleveland Clinic, the price for an uninsured patient would be over $106,000 if you needed a hip replacement. $106,000. With insurance, $2,750. Wow. There are places that you can go to look to see what's happening with hospital prices to find them out up front. And one of the places that you can go is patientsrightsadvocate.org, because that'll show you choices and it'll show you what the marketplace is, and that there are places that they're transparent and places that you can actually go and not get gouged, right? It is a shell game. That's what it is. It's a shell game. I mean, even the doctors know it, because if the doctors are your friends, they'll tell you that's what it is. And this, unfortunately, goes to all the insurance woes that have been adding on and adding on and adding on. How about earworm songs? Did I say that right? Earworm. You know when it gets stuck in your head? A few years ago, British researchers came up with a list of the top 20 songs that are most likely to be replayed on an endless loop in your brain. You want to know some of the songs that made the list? I'm going to tell you some of them. We Will Rock You, Queen, was number one. Happy, Pharrell. We Are the Champions, Queen. I'm going to Be, the Proclaimers. YMCA, Village People. Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen. I mean, Queen, like, has every song. Final Countdown, number seven, Europe. Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. Jingle Bells was number nine. Gangnam Style was in the top 15. Shake It Off, Taylor Swift, also in the top 15. Uptown Funk, Bruno Mars, was in the top 15. Don't Stop Believin', Journey, was also on there. How about the Bass? That was in the top 20. Meghan Trainor. Yeah. Beat It, Michael Jackson, in the top 20. There you go. How about Karma Chameleon? Bah, 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 bah. I can't even say that. I can't even think of that rhythm. Culture Club, top 20. Woo, earworms. I love it. Stay with us.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The World Health Organization is changing the way it names variants of the coronavirus, it says, to simplify the nomenclature around the most concerning strains. The variant first identified in the UK, known as the B117 strain, will now be known as the Alpha variant, the strain from South Africa to be called the Beta variant, the Indian strain called Delta, and the Brazilian strain will be known as the Gamma variant. The WHO says it will continue to use Greek letters for any future strains that rise to the level of being a variant of concern. And on his first Memorial Day in office, President Joe Biden paid tribute to the nation's fallen heroes at Arlington National Cemetery.
Remember those who gave their all in the service of America, in the service of freedom, in the service of justice. Remember their sacrifice, their valor, and their grace.
You're listening to USA Radio News. A former president is criticizing the current one over the crisis at the southern border. Tim Berg reports.
Former President Donald Trump is accusing President Biden of destroying the United States with his administration's failed border policies. Chad Wolf, who served as acting Secretary of Homeland Security under former President Trump, agrees with his former boss.
The administration are trying to take a victory lap at the moment, talking about how they're moving migrants, mainly minors, from one government facility to another government facility and saying we've solved the problem and the crisis. And that's anything, they have done anything but that. Solving the crisis is actually trying to stop the illegal behavior.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And the manhunt continues for three suspects accused of opening fire at a Miami banquet hall Sunday morning, killing two people and injuring 21. Newly released surveillance video shows three masked assailants getting out of an SUV, then running back to it following the shooting. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Vandendresa joins us, and he's in Italy, and he's written an interesting book, one that's going to really put you on the edge of your seat. It's called The Code of Hetar Deciphers, and this is a book that took years and years for him to write, took some really deep research, and it's fascinating. So, Chris, first of all, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Kate. It's my pleasure.
Tell everybody what your book is about.
Actually, it deals with an astronomical event, the precession cycle. And it's not what people think of it. What is a precession cycle, for instance? The precession cycle is at the sky, you can see the stars slowly turning around the Earth. And in 24 hours once, because of the Earth axis spinning, creating day and night, of course. And during 1 year, you see it also once because of the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. But with the precession, we can see the stars very, very slowly turning once every 25,776 years, going around the Earth. And this precession movement that is so insignificant was the most important belief of our ancestors, dedicating everything to it. So the question is, why? Science explains simply that the stars aren't turning around the Earth. So science deduces that the precession movement can only be an Earth spinning. But is this actually so? Then we oversee another alternative. Yes, we did actually. So I can explain it. Our solar system is situated above the galactic plane. I mean, above the middle section of our orbital Milky Way. And because of the turning of our Milky Way, our solar system should be pushed in downwards direction because it's over the galactic plane, and in outwards direction. But it doesn't. Our solar system is moving in opposite direction against scientific principles. And so did our solar system came from out of our Milky Way, flying through it and going out again? Of course not. Our solar system is just entrapped between other star systems, having a turning orbit between them. And if our solar system has a turning orbit, then we should see the stars moving once every orbit cycle, just like the orbit of the Earth around the Sun. So once we should see this, but the crazy thing is, science knows about the moving of our solar system, but doesn't link it to any visible movement of our stars around the Earth. Science just forgot it. But the observation of the precession is a direct candidate for the explanation of our solar system orbit. Moreover, because the axis of the precession movement is exactly perpendicular to the movement direction of the solar system, an incredible 100% match. So the precession movement is actually our solar system orbit.
Wow. Listening to you, it's fascinating, and it makes me think, you know, so you're talking about our ancestors and what they were doing, and what were they following, the precession cycle, or as you explained, the solar system orbit, and how were they doing that?
They created zodiac calendars. And so what are zodiac calendars? Zodiac calendars is a ring of constellations all around the Earth. And looking to them, to these constellations, they could observe, for instance, each morning of the solstice, in which moment they were in the precession cycle. This was important to know in which moment they were of the precession cycle in order to foresee certain moments in the solar system orbit on which physical events will take place on Earth, just like now starts to happen. So our ancestors created cardinal points of the zodiac, which means certain dates in the zodiac, certain recurring dates in the solar system orbit. These cardinal points all over the world, at any different culture, referred to exact the same dates. Can you imagine this? And one particular date was Leo, or the dragon, around almost a half precession cycle ago, in which took place the world flood. The next important date is an Aquarius or Phoenix, so very soon.
Ooh, what happens? I mean, this is fascinating. So explain to the listeners, what does that mean? What would happen soon?
I will explain it with the myth of Osiris and Seth. So one of them is ruling over the north, and the other over the south. And Osiris and Seth, they are both representing stars at the sky firmament. Every half precession, every 12,888 years, they change place. So one's got the power above the north and one of the south. And this is symbolized by the story of the sacred fire gimlet. A jet or pillar, the life tree, is standing on the earth, holding the sky firmament. Set is pulling a rope which goes around the gimlet or pillar to the other side, where Osiris is holding it. As Set is pulling, of course, the sky firmament turns around the earth during the precession movement. But after a period of 12,888 years of pulling, the earth catch fire and needs to be extinguished by a world flood. So the event which happened around half precession cycle ago. The hand of Osiris is almost touching the jet, so now he starts to pull. And so after the world flood, the sky firmament will start to turn in opposite direction during the next half precession period. And this event is only possible if the Earth goes literally upside down, so that everything seems to turn in opposite direction. And of course, going upside down will create fire, earthquakes, and the world flood, like described in the myths.
Wow. Wow. So let's jump to this, Chris. This is exciting listening to this, and scary at the same time. And people are going to listen and say, do you have scientific proof for a huge event that you're talking about?
Unfortunately, yes, there are lots of geological proofs, etc. But in fact, it starts all with a misinterpretation of science about the Earth's magnetic field. Science pretends still now that the Earth's magnetic field is caused by inner convection streams. On the Sun, however, these convection streams are creating hundreds of north and south poles all over its surface, which are even changing every 14 days. On the Earth, it is steady, never changing. So the convection streams should be solid, otherwise it's not possible. But if it's solid, then how can it create a magnetic field? So it's all contradictory. But on the contrary, our Earth and all the planets of our solar system have exactly the same parallel magnetic direction because of the fast CMEs that are going from north to south within our solar system. And these fast CMEs magnetized the Earth core. So our Earth core became a magnet. CMEs, what are CMEs? CMEs are particles, protons, etc., that are escaping from the solar surface and are filling our solar system. And these CMEs are escaping from the solar surface in same quantities from wherever the surface of the Sun. But those reaching the Earth from the north are accelerated. Those coming directly from the Sun are reduced in speed, and those coming from the south vanished. So how is this all possible? This change in speed and direction from the CMEs are caused by collisions with interstellar plasma, or CMEs coming from outside our solar system. And these collisions will create the north-south direction of the CMEs in our solar system.
And wow. Wow, I got to stop you there because I want to make sure we get this and we're starting to run out of time. So the spinning of the Earth causes day and night and the floods. And as you say, and you wrote to me, the orbit of the Earth causes winter and summer. The orbit of our solar system causes a turning upside down, like you mentioned, of the Earth every 12,888 years, causing a world flood. And then when I think of that, you know, in this minute we have left, what do you want people to take away from reading the Code of Hetar Deciphers?
I would like that people would think about it, read it and think about it, because it's very logical, even if you would like to refuse to understand it. Because if it's true, then we should do something, for instance, at the nuclear plants. Because with the earthquakes that will come, they will be all locked down and there will be radiation everywhere.
Wow. Scary. And there's so much more if you read this book, as Chris is saying. Chris van den Driessen. And again, the book is The Code of Hetar Deciphers. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I thank you very much. It was really a pleasure for me, and we see each other.
Yeah, hopefully, yes. They're in Italy, and all that research and everything that went into this book, it's good. Pick it up on Amazon.
This is Kate. Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Beverly Meadows joins us from the UK, and she's written a book called The Stranger in the Library and Other Stories. And Beverly, like lots of people that we've introduced you to on this show that have physical things that they struggle with, Beverly has MS. And what's so brilliant is she knew, or when we talked off the air, said a good thing that she could do was write. So imagine she has these vivid stories in her mind, and congratulations to Beverly for getting them down and getting them out. Because lots of people, no matter how they are physically, mentally, etc., they have these ideas for books and short stories, and they never actually get to publishing them. So, Beverly, that is a big accomplishment, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome.
Go ahead.
Well, I just said trying to find a publisher is very difficult, and so I'm very pleased that I managed to find somebody who would publish it for me. I can't believe that things are so difficult with getting things published, but they are.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, here I am. I suppose I can call myself a published author.
Yes, and that's why I said congratulations. It's something to, again, it's something to be very proud of. So tell the listeners, The Stranger in the Library and Other Stories, give us your favorite story. You told me your favorite story was the third story. What's that about?
Oh gosh, I can't remember now. Yeah, I haven't got the book with me.
But that's okay. Tell us in general what the book's about.
Well, the Stranger in the Library has three different short stories, and it's difficult to think about short stories. You know, I think, how long are they meant to be? I mean, I know that some of mine are a little too short. The second one is particularly short, but it's still readable, I think. But we'll wait and see how much people think of them.
Well, I know you talk about twins in one, and you talk about Lucy, and you talk about adoption, and you have interesting themes. So was it fun for you to actually, you talked about the difficulty of getting published, but you got published, and that's exciting. Was it, you know, what inspired you? What made you come up with these short stories?
I don't know. It's just, you know, I mean, I suppose you can't ask him because he's dead now, but you'd ask Charles Dickens how he thought of the stories he thought of, and you know, it just evolves in your head, and eventually you think, well, perhaps that could become a short story, or perhaps that could become something a bit longer. I mean, I have written some longer stories, but I haven't had them published yet. But we'll wait and see.
Do you enjoy writing? Do you enjoy coming up with stories, whether they're short stories or longer ones?
Yes, I do. I do. I mean, sometimes an element of one's life can be reflected in a story. That would be better for a longer story, but certainly I just think you have to go with what appears in your mind, and sometimes you write stuff and you think that's rubbish and you just, you know, chuck it out. Or I mean, I can't handwrite now because my MS has affected my right hand, and unfortunately I am very right-handed, and my left hand writing, it's just like being back at school. So I have to write on a computer now because I simply cannot hold a pen properly, which is very, very annoying. But that's the way life is sometimes. I'm lucky, really, in as far as I could have been diagnosed with motor neurone disease and I'd be dead by now. So let's look on the bright side.
Yeah, I like that you have that positive attitude, look on the bright side. Hey, when you were a kid, and we're speaking with Beverly Meadows, you can get her book, The Stranger in the Library, and other stories right there on Amazon. Did you ever think that you would be a writer, that you would write these stories, that these ideas you had in your mind, I'm sure even as a kid?
No, I mean, I loved English. I loved creating stories in English for marks from my teacher, but I never thought that I would become a published author. I mean, I hate saying I'm a published author. I meant I've only written that one book. But I hope there will be more on the way. We'll just say that.
All right, I like it. A perfect place to end this. There will be more on the way. Let's think optimistically. And again, very well done. Congratulations.
Well, that's very kind of you.
So Beverly not only has a tremendous book, but she's shining a light, I think, on something a lot of people don't know much about, and that's MS. And it happens to be World MS Day, and it's officially May 30th when World MS Day is. So we just went through that mark, depending on your time zone. But it marks the day. It brings the community together to share stories and to raise awareness and to have all kinds of activities that take place through really May and early June, which I think is
terrific, because there's a lot, again, that so many people don't realize about MS and the challenges of MS. It's one of the most common diseases of the central nervous system, so that's the brain and the spinal cord. And today, 2.8 million people around the world have MS. Again, that's why, to me, Beverly is such a shining example of, hey, I can write this book. And just because I have that disease, I'm like everybody else. But it's really tough. I mean, you know, it's a condition that can create things like symptoms are blurred vision and weak limbs and tingling sensation and unsteadiness and memory problem and fatigue. And most people with MS are diagnosed between the ages of 20 and 40. And MS is 2 to 3 times more common in women than men. And right now, and this is why this awareness is so important, I mean, there is no drug that can cure MS, but treatments are available that can modify the course of the disease, as they say. But still, you know, again, there is no cure. And I love this outreach on MS World, you know, Day, because hundreds of thousands of people around the world focusing on these campaigns and collaborating and making more awareness of what MS is, again, in places like England, in the UK, Beverly, Greece, Australia, the US, Egypt, Ireland, Argentina, Spain, and so many more people. And and Beverly would be excited about this too. I looked up how many people are supporting what's going on MS World Day, and it really just has exploded. That, you know, there's so many tools and toolkits and ways to touch people's lives, and there's so many people that are supporting World MS Day through all kinds of donations, whether it's the big companies, the Mercks and the Bristol Myers Squibb or Biogen or whoever it might be. But just, again, finding those connections is so key. The hashtag is #MSConnections. You could share Beverly's book and hashtag it out there with #MSConnections. And that building of community and support, I think, is so, so, so key. When, again, you think of a day to celebrate, global solidarity, as they say, and hope. There's hope for the future. I, in my life, have known people have had MS, and they've done some tremendous things, and that's why I think it's so important to highlight what people are doing that are living with MS. And you can certainly live a life. You can certainly traverse what happens in life daily. But the more people who are aware, the more people who are lobbying decision makers for better services and effective treatment for people with MS, I think all the better. Shine the big light. And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said,
it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.